good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you've survived the cold of the week. And, yeah, spring is coming. Don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be here. You know, pollen, all this stuff people love for the springtime. It's coming. You don't have to wait too long here in the South for it. It'll be nice and enjoyable. And, you know, I will say this, that I'm like 3 weeks behind my New Year's resolutions of exercising every day because of the cold. I mean, doggone, who wants to go out and walk when it's 15 degrees out there? I'm sorry. 20 years ago, I'd have been out there. Not anymore. I pick and choose my days a little more carefully, just an age thing. Had a great time in Indianapolis. Archery Trade Association. Yeah, really fun. A lot of people. Got to see a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. A lot of new products. Some more usable than others, I guess you would say. Some have already sparked some discussion in Western states about how far is too far with technology, which is a consideration. It's the whole definition of fair chase. You know, what is fair chase? And I think out West, they've probably got a tighter grip on that than most other states do. And I think the thing that's bringing it across is crossbows. And now that Garmin has come out with it's a laser rangefinder that projects a holographic dot on a screen on your bow. I mean, I'm not against technology, but at some point it's no longer hunting. And I guess we all have to decide where that point is. You know, is a crossbow that can shoot 100 yards considered a primitive weapon? Should that be allowed in archery season? I don't know. I mean, crossbows are great things. Think of how many guys have bad right shoulders who can't pull back a regular compound bow, but they like the crossbow. I mean, it's an avenue for people to hunt. And you don't ever want to take away those avenues when you have them, but you just got to figure out where they fit in to the whole hunting picture, I guess what you'll say. So a lot of things, met some guys. I mean, ingenuity, American ingenuity just continually amazes me. Two of the best things I found at ATA were little neoprene deals, less than $15. And just somebody, he said, you know, I had this problem and I came up with a solution, and they're great. They're great. I mean, absolutely knock your socks off. It's like the tape around the end of your shoelaces. So, but we're going to get a lot more in depth with that. Pete Rogers and I went up together. Pete's an outdoor writer here in Greenville. We went up together, and we're going to come on the show here in the next couple weeks and really go into detail on ATA. He's going to SHOT, so we'll probably have a little bit of SHOT show to talk about too. And we'll get into that more off later on, and probably in February. Full show today. Going to talk to Marty Walker about the upcoming boat show. Going to talk to Brandon Cobb about Okeechobee and getting ready for the year. And then we're going to talk to Michelle Harms from the Palmetto State Armory, the fishing outpost, which is in Columbia. Not many people know about it. You're going to get a little introduction to it. They got a mega bass party happening tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. So if you're within about, I don't know, 2.5 hours of my voice right now, from Columbia, you can get in your car, head to Columbia. Going to have a lot of giveaways and some other stuff going on. And you get to look at the store, which is a really neat store. Coming from ATA, I do want to tell you this. He's been on the show for several years now. It's hard to believe this is like the fourth year of the show. Jerry Widener, Hunter Safety Systems. We gave away one of his harnesses 2 weeks ago. He and I talked at ATA. Hunter Safety Systems is going to be a sponsor of this show. We're going to work out an arrangement of giving away some before archery season starts. We're going to give away some of the lineman harnesses, which is what you use to hang your lock-on stands and all that before the season starts. We're going to give away some bow hunting harnesses, some lady harnesses, some kids harnesses, because his whole company standpoint is we're in the business of saving lives. And I can wholeheartedly get on board with that. So Hunter Safety Systems is going to be associated with Woods and Water, South Carolina. I couldn't be happier about that relationship. And that'll kick up probably in June or July as we get ready for hunting season, which just ended. And if you're like me, you're already looking at next year. So it never ends, and our wives and families know it, don't they? Look, need to get a few things off the calendar of events, which as always is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center, the host of the upcoming Bassmaster Classic in March. And we're going to start it off. Hey, boat show season is here. The Upstate Boat Show is going to be at the TD Center starting this coming Thursday, January 25th. It'll be the afternoon of the 25th, the afternoon of the 26th, Friday, all day on Saturday, and then the afternoon of Sunday, the 28th. Be sure when you go in there to stop by Palmetto Boat Center and tell Marty Walker hello and look at his boats. He's got a whole range of it, and he'll tell you more about that when he's on the show here in just a few minutes. If you're in Charleston next weekend, you can hit the Charleston Boat Show. Probably going to have a little more of a saltwater flair to it down there. Probably a lot of flats boats, a lot of center consoles, and some pretty big boats. I bet there'll be some Freeman catamarans down. Those things are nice, 42 feet. No, four motors hanging off the back, probably 1,200 horsepower altogether. When I can afford one, I sure won't be doing this show. But anyway, that one's going to be at the Charleston Convention Center. And it is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 26th, 27th, 28th. Tickets, adults, $12. Children, 4 to 12. 5, under 4, free. Seniors, 8. Military, 5. Two-day passes, $20. And parking is free. That's the Charleston Boat Show next weekend. If you're in Columbia on the 28th of January from 12 to 5, stop at the Ice House Amphitheater and take part in the Lexington County Chili Cook-Off. I love chili. The third annual Lexington County Chili Cook-Off is Sunday, January 28th from 12 to 5. It's at the Ice House Amphitheater in the town of Lexington. If you want to register a team, go right ahead. There's an email if you look at their website. There's an email address there for you. Judge of choice, people's choice. Regular admission events, $10 for adults, $5 for kids, 12 and under free. No, $5 for kids, 12 and under. Tickets available at Blowfish on Main Street in downtown Lexington are online, and you can buy tickets the morning of the events. Proceeds benefit First Responders, 9/11 Remembrance Foundation of South Carolina, the town of Lexington, Adopt a Cop program, where I think Cameron Mortensen is a policeman in the town of Lexington. He's a member of our Outdoor Press Association. January 31st, the full moon hike, cold moon, and there's something to do with that. I'll have to look at that a little, because there's having full moons like we've had in January. I think there's been three of them now. Mm-hmm. I think one was on the first day, one middle. I think this is why it's called the cold moon. But anyway, South Carolina Botanical Gardens in Clemson, if you want to go 6 to 7:30, they're going to have a little moon hike, full moon hike, which ought to be pretty fun and be cold. Be careful. But just a chance to get outside, and it's going to be guided, so that'll be a good one. Wild game dinners. This is the time of the year when you've got them going on. So February the 3rd, 6 p.m., the dining hall over at Spartanburg First Baptist Church. They can have guest speakers Chuck McAllister. He's an avid hunter and host of the hunting program Adventure Bound Outdoors, which he launched in 1996. Adult tickets, $15. Children under 12, $10. Reserve tables are available, and they're going to have all sorts of venison, fish, chicken, you name it. Door prizes, shotguns, rifles, knives, fishing gear, and more. And they're all going to offer some classes, basic gun care safety, blacksmithing, fishing basics, and wilderness survival. So contact Spartanburg First Baptist Church to find out more information about that. That's under the Recreation Ministries there. Shucking for Shelter. 2018 is the 20th anniversary of the opening of the Callan Lacey Center for Children in, I believe this is Mount Pleasant. And they're going to have a big oyster roast. It's a family-friendly fundraiser for the Callan Lacey Home, providing comprehensive care services to child victims of physical and sexual abuse, neglect, and abandonment in Berkeley County since 1998. $25 ticket gets you all you can eat oysters to enjoy a charming country setting. It features a rustic barn and a menagerie of farm animals to thrill the kids. Sticky Fingers is going to bring all the oysters, and there'll be alternative food if steamed bivalves aren't your bag. So, hey, this is a bring your own cooler event. They just ask for no glass bottles. And that's the start of just a few things that you can do across the state. There's a lot more going out there, and we'll be bringing you more and more events on the calendar as we get into the year. So hang on. We're going to talk about boat shows with Marty Walker from Palmetto Boat Center with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's been a cold winter. I think we can all agree on that. You know, if you, if you're a fisherman up in Minnesota, you learn how to cut holes in ice and sit on buckets and fish through the ice. If you're in South Carolina, you have the luxury of laying off for a couple of months because you know it's going to get warm soon. With the warming weather, your boat show season, and we've got the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show coming into the TD Center this coming weekend. And what better person to go to talk about the boat show than Marty Walker from Palmetto Boat Center. Marty, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing great, Roger. Appreciate the phone call and the opportunity to sit back and chat.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity for you to answer the phone call and agree to sit back and chat.
Well, there you go.
It's a two-way street, isn't it, my friend?
That's right. That's right. I tell you, water temps are colder, like you said, on Hartwell than what we've seen in the past. It's actually winter this year. It's a little different.
Since we bring up water temperature on Hartwell, okay, we're not expecting the 9-degree air temperature we had in 2015. And I think a lot of people were up in the air, you know, are we going to have, when the Classic is here that week, what, the 12th or so, the week of the 11th, I think it is, you know, what are our water temperatures going to be on Hartwell? You think it's got time to warm up enough to have a spawning type tournament, or are we going to be pre-spawn still?
I think we're going to be pre-spawn.
Okay.
And that's just a personal guess. That's nothing more than a good wild guess.
Sure.
But my gut tells me that a pre-spawn tournament would be a better tournament as terms of productivity than what a spawning tournament would
okay.
be. Because the fish start moving up into predictable locations. You've got fish that are moving out of the wintertime deep water into those shallow staging areas that make Hartwell fish very different. It's still got the chance of being one like it has been in the past in deep water.
Okay.
But if they start moving into that pre-spawn phase, you know, it puts shallow water into play.
You know, a lot of anglers you talk to say Hartwell is one of those lakes where you can fish your strengths no matter what it is. It's big enough. It's got everything available. Is that a true assessment of Lake Hartwell?
Oh, I think it is. I think, you know, when I just look at local tournament results, you know, you get to know some of the guys that know how they fish, and, you know, you can catch them this time of the year deep on a jig. You can catch them on a drop shot. You can catch them shallow on a crankbait. It's just finding the bait and finding the fish, whether they're out in the timber or they're up on the bank.
Always something new to spend your money on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and, you know, I was just looking online at the results from a tournament this weekend.
Okay.
There was five fish weighed in, lots of nice largemouth, five over 4.5 pounds.
Wow.
It took 18-3 to win, and they had a 5.2 largemouth. Second place was 15-8 with a 6.2 largemouth. And then third place was 15-6. So, I mean, it took 15 pounds to get a check this weekend.
That's amazing because I talked to a friend of mine out in Texas, and they had some big high school tournaments and a couple other local tournaments out on Sam Rayburn, I believe. And he said winning was like 16 pounds out there, and that's just unheard of.
Right, in the wintertime.
In the wintertime. I mean, it's 22 pounds to even, you know, make the podium out there. And winning right. It was like 16-something. So that shows you what a great fisher we've got right here in our backyard.
Well, it's probably our greatest natural resource as far as a tourism standpoint. I mean, we're bringing so many folks in, Anderson County, Greenville County, but Anderson County especially recognizes the value of our resource, and they've invested in it. I mean, that's what brings the Bassmaster Classic back for the third time in 10 years.
That's right. And I tell you, our friend Neil Paul does a great job down there, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. You know, he had a birthday a few days ago, so I guess we can wish him a belated happy birthday.
Yeah, you know where he went on his birthday?
I think he went to Bass Pro Shops.
Bass Pro Shops.
Right. That's where I would take my friends if I was going to Bass Pro Shops. I'll take one of those and one of those. That's a good
sure.
present.
Sure. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, look, you're about you run the high school tournament here in the Upstate region, and you're about halfway through the season. How are things going with the high school fishermen?
Oh, it's been incredible this year. When we started the trail about 4 years ago, you know, we had 100 boats a tournament, and we thought we were, you know, in high cotton. We were just the thing going on.
Sure.
Our last tournament in November on Hartwell, we had 290 boats. I mean, we were 10 votes away from 300, and that's not registered. That's in the water.
That's in the water.
In the water.
Yeah.
And so the growth has just been incredible. The feedback from the kids and the parents is just what's amazing. It's watching how excited the kids get, whether they're weighing in a 12-inch spotted bass that they worked all day to get,
sure,
and they're smiling with their one fish, or, you know, they're in contention and in the hunt. And taking it really serious, it's amazing to see just how interested the kids are in fishing and how passionate they are. A lot of the parents, the boat captains, all of that, I mean, instead of talking about high school football and basketball, they're standing around the tackle shop talking about high school fishing.
That's
and
right.
Whose team's going to do what, and, you know, our kids, we're doing this for next year, and so on and so forth. It's just been really amazing.
Yeah, it has been. I appreciate the ride out to Launch Point at that tournament on Hartwell. That was fun. Got a lot of great pictures. But you do a yeoman's duty out there. I mean, it's come on, people, get in line. You know, this isn't the first time you've done this, and it's getting 290 boats launched.
Sometimes,
yeah,
at least the blast off it is.
Yeah.
But you know, the guys do it. They figure it out, and it is hard because everybody's excited. It's hard to hear out on the water.
Right.
You know, the thing that is so impressive to me is just the kids' attitudes. They want to go. They want to go fish. They want to go compete. And, you know, in all kinds of circumstances, whether there's been sicknesses, illnesses, we had one young man,
yes,
that was out fishing that last tournament, mm-hmm, and his mother had passed away a couple of days before, and they actually had the funeral that afternoon, but he wanted to go fishing that morning. And so, I mean, it's just that core, and you're an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an outdoorsman, we live, eat, sleep, breathe outdoors. And so that's our happy place.
Yep.
It makes us feel good.
Yeah.
And, you know, even watching the tragedy from down at Lake Okeechobee where Kit, the guy, the co-angler in the FLW, mm-hmm, series, he was unfortunately lost his life from the tournament. Watching the fishing community come together and rally around his family and the people that were searching for him and just how close they are as a community was just absolutely amazing.
It is. And then there are examples of that all over all the time, too, whether it's publicized
absolutely
or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just one big family.
That's right. Well, hey, we got a boat show coming up. People been, you know, snowed in, iced in, teens. Now's the time to get out, look for a new boat. What it starts this Thursday. This Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday. What are y'all bringing to the show this year?
We are taking our normal about 30 boat booth. We'll have a bunch of new bass boats from Phoenix. We'll have a Legend, a V20 from Legend up there. We'll have several Nitros, bass trackers. We'll have one of the Tracker Heritage boats, which is the Tracker 40th anniversary aluminum fishing boat.
Wow.
This is a boat that the folks at Tracker got together with all of their vendors, and so we got a 17-foot aluminum fishing boat with a cover and a 40-horsepower Mercury motor for $99.95 plus prep and freight.
That's,
I mean, it's a $10,000 fishing boat, Roger.
And it will catch fish just as well as a $70,000-$80,000 decked-out 21-foot, whatever you want to call it.
It will. It really will. The fish don't know the difference. I always kid that the view in the live well is wet and dark.
That's right.
But, you know, it's a good family boat for somebody that's wanting to get started. And then we've got something for everybody, whether it's center console Key West.
Okay.
We're going to have one or two of those. But you can do a little saltwater,
right,
inshore fishing, or even striper fishing.
Okay.
We've got fishing pontoons that are family oriented from Sun Tracker. Or, of course, you could go all out on some of our high-horsepower pontoons. We'll have one that's got 200-300 horsepowers on it.
Heavenly days.
600-horsepower pontoon is not Grandpa's pontoon.
It's not. That's a drag race.
That's right. So, yeah, like I said, we'll have a little bit of something for everybody. The show opens Thursday at 12, runs till 9 o'clock. Friday is 12 to 9 as well. Saturday's a long day. It goes from 10 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock that night, and then Sunday's the final from 12 to 6.
It's going to be fun. Let me ask you a question. For somebody who is coming out there looking to buy a boat from Palmetto Boat Center, Marty Walker, financing. How do y'all handle your financing arrangements?
Well, we do all that in-house. A young man named Zach is our finance manager, and we try to make it a very simple process. We do take cash, and we do take checks.
Okay.
Somebody wants to just stroke a check for the whole thing, but a lot of folks want to finance it. Zach will sit down with you. He'll do a quick credit application, and then he reviews their credit history and profile to try to find the bank that's the best fit for them.
Okay.
And we try to get the approval quickly from our first shot, worst case, our second opportunity. And then we do all the other paperwork in-house when they pick up their boat. So we try to make it just simple, one-stop shop.
Very good. What kind of go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and we can do all that on-site at the show. A lot of folks like to shop the boat show because there's this mystique of the show, and everybody's like, well, what kind of deals are you going to have at the show? And the thing that so many customers don't understand is that the promotions, say, from Tracker, from Mercury, from Yamaha, are first quarter promotions. You know, we'll sell you a boat at the show, but I don't want to create a false sense of urgency at the boat show.
Okay.
Because I want somebody to make a good decision, an informed decision, and the right decision versus a right now decision. I've been in that circumstance where I bought a boat years and years ago, and it was 5 o'clock on Sunday. I said, well, if you buy it by the end of the show, I'll do this for you. And then the next week, everything changed. The trade value changed.
Okay.
The timing of the new boat coming in changed and all those kinds of things. And it just left this bad taste in my mouth.
Okay.
And so when I got in the boat business, I decided I didn't want to do it that way. We're a big believer in giving somebody a high dose of low pressure and let them make a good, informed decision.
Marty, thanks for everything. Thanks for being on the show. If you're going to the boat show this coming weekend, be sure to stop in the Palmetto Boat Center. They can fix you up with everything you'll need, as he said, right there in the boat show if you want to. Marty, thanks a bunch, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're going to bounce from the boat show to fishing tournaments because it's that time of the year. Both the FLW and Bass circuits are getting ready to hit the waters. We've had a few tournaments on the lower series, but it's always neat to reconnect with the guys you might have not talked to in a couple of months. And one of those is Brandon Cobb. He joins me again on Woods and Water, South Carolina. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you coming on. Hey, do we have a new boat and a new motor and graphics and electronics all ready to go?
We've got a new boat, new motor, new Lowrances and everything. We do not have it wrapped yet. It was ordered a little late this year and kind of got it a little late. So I don't have it wrapped, but I'll get it wrapped right after Okeechobee and be back on schedule then. So we can fish one unwrapped.
We can fish one unwrapped.
We'll be incognito out there.
You may enjoy having being incognito.
I couldn't hear you.
I said you may enjoy being incognito.
I may, but the thing is, Okeechobee, you know how it usually goes for me down there? And nobody's probably going to be looking for me real hard anyway.
I gotcha.
Well, we're going to change that luck this year, though.
Well, I hope we do. I hope you have to stay down there all weekend.
I hope so too. It'd be real nice to make the Sunday cut at Okeechobee because it's been kind of one of those rough ones for me the last few years, but I feel like I've got a little better in Florida. It's been 3 years, I think, since I've been down there, and the last couple of times we've gone to Florida, I've done okay. So I'm kind of excited to go give it a try now that I feel a little more experienced with that type of fishing.
That grass fishing's tough, isn't it?
It is, and it's the funny thing is I've always been really, really uncomfortable fishing it just because, I mean, upstate South Carolina, we don't have grass.
We don't have grass.
No, we might have a little bank grass here and there, but not your typical hydrilla and all that thick stuff like Florida has. But over the years, I've actually gotten to where I enjoy fishing and I'm starting to feel a little comfortable. I mean, I think we talked about last time we were on the show, some my best finishes last year were all like pure grass tournaments.
Sure. Yeah, Gunnersville.
So, yeah, Gunnersville, mm-hmm. Harris Chain, yeah. and Potomac. I mean, yeah. I never made a cast that wasn't that grass. So,
yeah.
I'm starting to kind of like it. Okeechobee is a little different because it's kind of an overwhelming type place. It's just so big and there's not much as far as we're used to, like topography or creek channels or
right.
pockets or something like that. There's right. just, it doesn't have that.
Yeah.
It's got some depressions and stuff like that, but it's just very minor changes in depth. And you're more looking at the types of grass rather than where the grass is growing.
And they got types of grass down there. They got this type of grass that grows off the bottom. They got this type of grass that grows on a mat. When I fish that little ICAST cup every year, I'm so tired of setting the hook on some type of grass.
It happens. And apparently, from everybody that's Florida experts, they all say you look for where all these types of grass meet.
Okay.
My problem is I don't even know what type of grass I'm looking at most of the time, so it's kind of hard to tell when they meet. But I've learned down there, any type of grass, like not just there, but you're kind of better off just putting your head down, fishing, don't run around too much. I mean, you followed me before. You know my
sure.
style is run around,
yeah.
move quick.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't really work down there. It's you kind of got to pick an area where you can get bit and just catch as many fish as you can. And usually by the end of the day, if you catch enough numbers, you'll catch some good ones too.
I gotcha. Hey, we can't talk about Okeechobee without talking about the boat accident that happened on the Costa series a couple weeks ago. What, you know, I've never been on Okeechobee. You look at it on a map, it's a big circle. You got
right.
I guess you got the Kissimmee River coming in the top. You got the Rim mm-hmm. Canal that runs out around the edge. What is the mm-hmm. middle of Okeechobee like? I mean, there was no small craft advisory. Anytime you got a flat piece of water like that, the wind's going to get up. It's going to be bumpy, which I understand is normal for Okeechobee. Talk just a minute about that whole situation down there.
Yeah, Okeechobee is one of those lakes where when the wind blows, because it's so flat, to compare it to a lot of lakes that people may be more familiar with, like Santee, it's just a bowl. There's nothing to ever break the wind.
Right.
So even a real light, I mean, you think a 10-mile-per-hour wind around here, you're like, oh, it'll just be a little bumpy, you know. Well, 10 miles per hour there can really get some rollers going because it's got so much to build.
Okay.
And the thing, I can't blame FLW. I mean, FLW didn't do anything wrong by letting the anglers go.
Right.
The whole deal, because the way Okeechobee lays out, you don't have to run across the lake.
Okay.
There's countless navigation routes. I mean, there's small channels that run in the reeds actually to break the wind to get from one end of the lake to the other.
Okay.
And some of those can get a little hairy. I mean, they're a little tight, you know, real shallow.
Right.
But then there's also the Rim Canal.
That okay.
You can get in the Rim Canal. It's like a river. I mean, to get from one end of the lake to the other. And you can make the run across the middle and save some time. It's a little quicker. I've actually ran across the middle one time, and it's the only time I'll ever do it. It was not rough. It's just once you get about 10 minutes in the run out, you can't see land for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Wow.
And it's kind of eerie out there in the middle, but there's Okeechobee, you can find safe navigation routes
okay.
most of the time.
Okay.
Depending on, there's some very bad wind directions that you couldn't.
Okay.
But you can usually get back in the grass and they kind of act like break walls.
Right. Right. At least they calm the waves. The wind will break those yeah. waves up and kind of flatten them out a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. The wind will still be blowing. It just, the reed lines. And I haven't been down there obviously since we had the hurricanes. But I've heard, though, that a lot of the grass, that lake changes every year.
Right.
From just any kind of storms. And we have okay. some bad, or Florida has some bad storms,
yes.
you know, this hurricane season.
Right.
And I've heard that a lot of the hard lines, the reeds that would actually normally break those waves are gone. There's no more hard lines.
Wow.
So that'll change a little bit. I'm sure when I get down there, it may look like a totally different lake, but And that happens every year. I mean, I'll have a waypoint from the previous year I went, and you pull up to it, and you're like, man, I'm 500 yards from the grass line. And last year, I was back in a backwater.
Okay.
So it's kind of odd. Like, there's actually an island out there that's a bird island, and I've heard from this fall after all the storms that island's gone.
Oh, wow.
There's no more island. So it varies a lot, and some of the trails, that's what makes it. Navigating a little hard until you get down there and practice, because
okay.
some of those trails that you're used to running in previous years, they may not be there anymore.
Okay.
So it's just, it takes some, I'm definitely no expert running around down there, but I've learned over the years that there's so many ways to get from point A to B, depending
okay.
on the wind.
Okay. Let me ask you this, on the safety side, are you an inflatable guy or a a standard zip-up vest guy?
I am a standard zip-up vest guy. A lot of people listening maybe have watched the Cubs. Like, hey, he wasn't wearing a full vest at the Cup because I wore the inflatable kind at the Cup.
Okay.
But most of the time, especially like making long runs and everything like that, I always wear a standard vest, not inflatable, just because I look, if I do get thrown out, not to mention, you know, there has been issues with the inflatables not going off,
right. But
a full vest will also give you kind of some impact protection. So I wear a full vest 80% of the time.
80% of the time. But, you know, the Cup, it was so doggone hot. If you were wearing a full vest, you were losing poundage.
Yeah, and the way I was jumping up and down
right.
A million spots a day, it was hard to do in that one. But most of the time, yes, so definitely full vest guy, and I recommend wearing a full vest.
You know, we talked about new boats and all that. There's a time you guys have to take that new boat and get everything, because it's clean. I mean, it's not like you're reorganizing from one lake to the next. This is the ground up, you know, fill it to the rims type thing. What's that like? Take us through what that's like every year.
Well, every year you get your new boat, and what tends to happen in the off season is I've got my fishing room at my house. I've got a 3-bedroom house, but I really have 2 bedrooms and a fishing room.
Okay.
So my fishing room tends to get, I'll go fishing in my duck boat, or I'll go with my buddy who I don't have a boat, and things get kind of just thrown everywhere. Like,
sure.
I actually couldn't walk in my fishing room earlier this week.
Okay.
So first of all, I have to reorganize everything in my fishing room, and then piece by piece put everything back in the boat. And it usually takes 2 or 3 trips before you got everything you need in there, because you'll get to the lake, oh man, I forgot to put my pliers in here.
Okay,
stuff
that's
like
an important
that.
Thing.
But yeah, but it takes a lot of reorganizing, and you generally every year it seems like I have a new idea of how to get everything best organized in the boat, and then. It ends up not working out, and I end up putting everything back in like I always have. So it takes some trial and error and getting everything back in. And these new L-boat Rangers lay out a little bit differently. So I'm kind of had to figure out how to get everything in there.
And how's that? Tell us the difference.
One thing I actually really like about the L-boat, they took there's no carpet in the boxes anymore.
Oh, wow.
So you got straight fiberglass, which keeps moisture from building up in there. I mean,
sure.
The carpet, you know, is going to hold a little moisture. So I really like that. And the boxes are a little laid out a little differently, just like one might be a little longer and one's a little shorter.
Okay.
But it's overall, I enjoy the boat. I think I've got 4.5 hours on it, so I can't really say how, I can't say too much about it, but
right.
So far I'm real impressed.
Now, organizational skills here. For us small tackle guys, you know, there's a box for everything. Do you have a box for everything? And in your box is probably, what, 12 inches deep type boxes? Or are you a small box guy?
I use the typical Planos. I can't even remember the number on them, but they're about 2.5 inches tall and, you know, 12, 14 inches wide.
That's 3700 series.
Yeah, 3700.
Yep.
And I, what I usually do is I'll have like a box for small crankbaits, for instance.
Okay.
And then I'll have a box for jigs. But over the years, I've got, just fishing around here, I used to have one box for jigs. But now going to Florida,
sure.
Going up north, going to all these places, I've accumulated so many different types of jigs. And
right.
Once a box gets too full, I'll just split it and have like my football jig box, my dock jig box, and my swim jig box.
Okay.
So I'm kind of starting to spread out like that. I think I've got about 60 or 70 boxes now.
Okay.
That I leave. When I go to a tournament, I usually keep Tupperware in the back of my truck with, or Rubbermaids, I mean.
Okay.
With 30 or 40 extra baits in there, and then I got my ones in the boat, too.
Okay.
And then by tournament time, I'll usually thin the load a little bit.
I got you. Are you a rod glove guy for your rods and reels in the boat, in the rod boxes?
I am, every time.
Okay.
I am. I use, I switched to Art Rods this year.
And right.
Each rod you get comes with its own rod sleeve.
Okay.
And I always use the rod sleeves. That saves your eyes on your rods. And not to mention, even if you're not worried about tearing up your rods, if you just don't want to take the time, if you damage your eye on a rod and don't realize it, it could cost you a fishing tournament.
Sure.
So I always put the rod sleeves on, and it's a little time-consuming sometimes, but it's completely worth it.
Well, and not only are you protecting the rod tips and stuff, I mean, for a guy like me, that Arc Rod, that's, what, a $250 rod?
No, actually, ARCs are pretty affordable. Okay. The ones I use in Boker's, they're $149.
Okay, all right.
But still don't want to damage any of them.
Sure.
I always do it. But, yeah, you can, especially with your expensive rods, too. It'll save you a lot of headache over the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look,
and
man.
Your line.
Yeah, and your line, too. That's right, because you got fray points on every time your line comes across that rod guide, you got a fray point.
That's right, and in your box, those PVC rod dividers, you drive 10 or 12 hours like we do to a tournament, vibrating for 10 or 12 hours is not good for your line or your rod.
Either one.
That's right.
Well, look, married life, I guess an ending, man. You've been married for like a whole 3 months now. How's that going?
Yeah, I think November 4th, so yeah, I guess it has been about 3 months now. So it's going great. Not a whole lot of change, really. We've been together for quite a while now, so it's been awesome. Had a great time on our honeymoon and everything, and we I'm ready to get traveling again, but she works as much as I do. She's a coach at Lander University teaching horse equestrian, so she'll be going. It worked out kind of perfect because actually when I'm in Florida, while I'm down here in Florida, she will also be in Florida in a different location for a show for Lander, and so it worked out good where when I'm gone, she's gone, and we're both back at the same time. So.
Great. Well, look, best of luck down there on the Grass Lake. We'll all be watching FLW Live. Hope you make Saturday. Hope you make Sunday. And we'll circle back around and catch up when you get back.
I hope I do, too. And I appreciate everybody following me. And thank you for having me on.
Good enough, Brandon. Take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Sir. Welcome back to the last segment of Woods and Water South Carolina for today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Nice having you with us this afternoon. Everybody knows Palmetto State Armory. Hey, I can go in there. I can buy bits and pieces and parts and build my own AR platform. I can buy ammunition. I can look at tree stands, archery equipment, and all that. But I didn't know about it until probably 6 months ago. They have a fishing store in Columbia, and let me tell you what, it's probably one of the best fishing stores I've been in a long time. And we're lucky enough to have Michelle Harms from Palmetto State Armory, the fishing outpost, with us. Michelle, thanks for taking a few minutes and being on Woods and Water South Carolina.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Like I said, not many people know, well, I guess a lot of people know, but not a lot of people know that Palmetto State Armory has the fishing outpost there in Columbia. And y'all have a store that's stocked to the gills, let me tell you what. It's a great store to go into because there's no empty spots on the shelves.
Yeah, we try to keep it stocked.
Tell us just a little bit about yourself as an introduction to the listeners, please, ma'am.
Okay. About me or the store?
How about you? Well, how about you, too?
Well, I'm into the store here. I like to catfish. That's what I'm into. Okay. I'm not big on the bass fishing. I'm kind of a set it and forget it with the bait. I grew up fishing for salmon in Alaska, so I like a little bit bigger of a fight.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And one of the really cool things is every year you go guide a bear hunt up in Maine.
Oh, yeah. I go guide a ladies-only bear hunt. We go chase some bears around with some bows.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. You know, I've got a story over here in the stack that's, that women hunters may be the salvation of hunting in the hunting industry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, y'all are putting the boys to shame. I don't know where the boys are. If a boy, if you're listening out there and this is who you're competing with, you know, this is the women of today. But take just a couple of minutes. Tell us about the store there on Fernandina Road in Columbia.
Okay. Well, we're located really close to Lake Murray, but we're also kind of centrally located in the state. And we have everything for bass, crappie, striper, catfish, and we have a little bit of saltwater tackle as well.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to say we have everybody's price point. We have reels and rods from $50 to $350, depending on what you're looking for.
Some of the brands you carry, I'm amazed. When you go into some stores, you may have three greenfish tackles. But y'all have greenfish tackles, greenfish jig heads. I mean, it's not like you just have one little part of a manufacturer. You've got most of everything they carry.
Right. Yeah, everyone fishes a little bit different, and a lot of people around here travel. So they're going to need different colors of jigs and different styles. So we carry pretty much almost all of Greenfish, and we're going to carry a lot of local companies as well.
But then you have just walls of Strike King.
Right.
Which is the variety. That's why I say the variety and the choice is incredible. And here lately on your Facebook page and all, you've been running some lures that are, I assume you're the only ones that are carrying it?
Right. We got together with Strike King. We made an exclusive color. It's called Palmetto Blueback, and you can only get it at Palmetto State Armory Fishing Stores.
See, who knew? Who knew that we had something like this right here in the state? But, you are real close to, I guess it's during the FLW. That's it. During the FLW tournament is when I first discovered PSA, because you had the little Anthony Gagliardi meet and greet. That's it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's when I was there. So it hasn't been that long that I've known about it. You've got something coming up tonight. Casey, you know, it's almost 4 o'clock here. It's 6 o'clock. Y'all got an event going on that I'm going to try to be at. That's looks like to be a pretty good thing, because you're going to have lots of giveaways. Tell us about the Mega Bass Party.
We're celebrating bringing in Mega Bass. It's just a really high quality bait from Japan that has been used in America for quite some time now.
Okay.
And we're bringing it in. We're excited about it. So we're going to have a bunch of giveaways. Mega Bass is giving away some baits and probably a couple of rods. We're going to have a food truck here, and it's just going to be just a really fun time to get people in the door and get some good food and learn a little bit more about Mega Bass.
Yeah. Food trucks, man, those things are good.
Oh, yeah. And he has an alligator sausage po' boy that he's bringing.
An alligator sausage po' boy.
Yeah.
That won't last very long.
No, I doubt that.
I mean, I want to say this. When the times I've been in there, the people that I've talked to, whether it's you or I forget the other, I always put reel on my line, or line on my reels before, Dowdy.
Yeah. Dalton, yeah.
Yeah, Dalton. Knowledgeable, friendly. I mean, you go into some of the big box stores, and like I was in a certain one the other day, and I asked for swim bait heads, and I walked 4 aisles with a guy because he didn't know where the swim bait heads were.
Yeah.
And that is not a problem when you come to the Fishing Outpost. I just want you to know that the service has been just excellent. And if you're looking for a tackle store out there, fellas or girls, to go to, look, it's not far from anywhere in South Carolina. That's a central location. If you're bass fishermen, crappie fishermen, it's the place to go. I'm telling you, it's a great store.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Look, I look forward to seeing you here in just a couple hours.
Absolutely. It starts at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and you're going to go. Yeah. How long are we going to go tonight?
It's about 7:30, but if people are still hanging around, they're free to just stay and eat some more alligator.
Okay. And talk and learn about and hey, trade secrets with some other bass fishermen. I got a feeling Joey's going to be there, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He'll be there.
Yeah, I'll have to call him because I need another rod or two. But anyway, hey, they're the one place you can go and put your hands on a level fishing rod.
Yep. It's really good seller. It's some great rods that we have here.
Absolutely great rods made by an absolutely great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Michelle, I appreciate you coming on, taking a few minutes out of your Saturday to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina. I look forward to seeing you in a bit. How do people find out about you, telephone numbers, that sort of thing, so they want to come tonight or any time in the future, they can get there?
You can find us on Facebook and just search for Palmetto State Armory Fishing Outpost.
Okay.
And you can find us on Instagram. It's PSAFO_Columbia.
Okay.
And then...
here we go.
Our phone number. Sorry, it's 803.
Okay.
250-4539.
And you're on Fernandina Road, which is the frontage road between, what two roads are those that sandwiches in between?
Piney Grove and St. Andrews.
There you go. Look forward to seeing you soon. And guys, now you know where to go to get your fishing tackle. Thanks, Michelle. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Will do. Bye-bye. All right. Well, I know it's last minute, but, you know, if guys, we don't need an excuse to drive 2 hours to buy some fishing tackle. So, and keep up with them because they all the time have promotions going on their Facebook page, on their Instagram page. And, you know, when they can call up Strike King and get a bait that's made just for South Carolina, that's a pretty cool store. So, anyway, well, I hope you've enjoyed it. I have a ball doing these shows every week. And I hope when you go to the boat show and you see Marty Walker, tell him, hey, I heard it on the radio. That's the important thing. These guys, these people don't know what kind of outreach they're having unless you tell them. You know, I don't have any idea what kind of outreach I have until you tell me, are you calling in to win something? So I appreciate you doing that. And that's about it for another week. Gonna have a good show coming up here shortly. I don't know exactly when it's gonna happen, but they're all gonna be good. But we got some things that are percolating on the burners here that are gonna be really good for Woods and Water South Carolina, and I hope you'll be a part of it, including getting in some regular co-hosts. That's gonna be fun. I talked to a friend of mine and we're gonna start doing some things. He brings a lot to the table. I think you really enjoy him. And until next week, I guess, make time to get out there. Get the boat show. Who knows? You might find a boat you want to buy. Take the back roads when you can. And don't forget that camera because you'll never know what kind of picture is available. Talk to you next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. In my mind, I'm born in Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine? You hit me from behind. I guess I'm gone to Carolina.